I'm glad I came to church today. Thanks, guys. Hey, Rossi, nice to see you back. Son in the house here. I still am not sure if I believe that you're married. Because I always see you on your own. So, is there a partner that belongs to this? Ah, there is in the house. Welcome, nice to have you visiting with us. And Anne is beaming from cheek to cheek. Yes, bless you guys. This is my picture of family, is that people come and go and we share in their joy. So, guys, just to say thank you for this last year of faithfulness and stewardship. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, felt to do a series just looking at finances again, kind of redeeming some of the terminology that maybe needs to be redefined because old mindsets and old ideas of what it entailed. And we started a series speaking around finances, and then we lapsed into 1 week that became 2 weeks around the issue of tithing. And once again, we believe that God blesses us because He's our Father, not because of anything we do. But we have a privilege in this life to partner with Him. And we're only going to get one chance, and that's this life, not the next life. And part of what we do together like this, making an opportunity available for people to bring their tithes and offerings, is not because we're trying to twist God's arm to bless us, but that we get an opportunity to partner with Him in this life. Amen? And we're very clear that we've moved from a curse. There's no curse on us. But we're very clear that God wants to bless us. And in the same way that sacrificial lifestyle is not a swear word, in the same way circumcision is not a swear word, even the word tithing is not a swear word, we've got to redeem those concepts and ideas for this generation so we understand them in the light of this glorious grace of the gospel. Having said that, we are blessed beyond the curse. We need to know that. And we need to know there's nothing we can do to get God's blessing. It's on us. But what we do have is an opportunity in this life to partner with Him. And if we call that a tithe or an offering, well then, let's redeem the terminology out of what it wasn't into what it should be. And that way we'll be helping each other. Because under an inferior covenant, a tithe was literally a tenth. I don't think in the new covenant it has to literally be a tenth. But we can still call it use the word tithe if everyone understands that language. And maybe even eventually we don't use that word. That's also okay. But it's not a swear word. So when we refer to we're taking up tithes and offerings, it's so that people understand what we're doing. Amen? Not because we're going back under a legalistic system. So if a person asks, do I have to give exactly a tenth? My answer is no. It can be a lot more. If God shows you what He says to you, what you've decided in your heart between you and your Father, we're not babies anymore that are supervised by an external commandment. We're now supervised by the Spirit of God speaking to us. So if He speaks to you about giving more than a literal tenth, whatever blows your hair back. And if He speaks about less. Wonderful. Do whatever He tells you to do. So part of the series has been educating not only for the health of the church, but for the health of the believer in our partnership. Last Sunday after the service, I was supposed to give some financial feedback on this last year as a church, because you know there are practical needs and bills to be paid. And because there were only 3 people who arrived at the meeting, thank you for your great interest in the financial affairs of the church, I said to them, don't make me do another meeting feedback, but I'll include it quickly when we take up the offering next week. So you guys here, I actually saw you, a few of you. Okay, so can we come up and pick up these bags, please? quite aware that people give through EFTs more than into the basket these days. But it's always nice to have something in your pocket that represents your tithe, your giving, whatever you call it. And in putting it in, I'm saying, I am in agreement with what's going on in this place. I'm in agreement with the vision in this place to reach the next generation. I'm in agreement with the vision in this place to create a family for believers to belong. I'm in agreement with the vision in this place that we need to be a missional sending community. I'm in agreement with the vision in this place that we're to reach the lost for Jesus. I'm in agreement with the vision in this place that we as believers need to be growing strong in the presence and in the word. And because of that vision, my giving, as represented through what I physically bring, my sweat and labor, I am a partner. Thank you. Can I have that slide up, Andrew? Okay, so you may wonder, thanks guys, you can take up the offering. Thanks, Chris. You may wonder, what is it that these, that finances have to be collected? Doesn't money just fall out of heaven? Well, okay. So these are some of the areas of needs represented in that pie graph that represent the different needs, financial needs that we have in the church. We did this over, if you take a year's average of income and expenditure, these would be the areas that would average out. Expenses, 261. And then the various accountants and auditing costs. Our books do get audited, and there's a financial team in place, and they collect it and count it by more than one person. So it's not just Janet and me that collect them, count the money in. So there's an auditing system in place, insurances, building maintenance, salaries, wages, medical aids, staff, all the staffing. A travel, bus fare, daily stuff, security, so that we are such a and feel fairly comfortable. Utilities, telecoms, media, groceries, events, resources. Give the tax man what the tax man deserves. Stationery, giving, licenses, items purchased over the year. That, if we average out giving over a 6-12 month period, it kind of averages out of this. Now, where does this money come from? It's a time to elbow the person next to you. Okay, where does this money come from? It comes, the income, 253 comes through what's collected, through what we get in the coffee bar, venue hire, apostolic events, other. And as you can see, the difference between income expenses gives us something to pray about and keeps us on our knees. Because that's not in the black, that's in the red. So that gives your, that, you know the old saying, keep the pastor poor so God can keep him humble. It's like God keeps me humble because I've got to trust God for that to come in. And it does. We've had venue hire, that has taken care of that for a few months and other ways. But just to, so I woke up on Wednesday morning at about 2:30 with this figure of 31 in my mind. And I just felt the Lord say to me, and I can't believe I'm actually doing this in church. But I felt like the Lord showed me that there are 10, that all this is, all this represents are 10 families in the church who are thinking, well, I'm sure everyone else is taking care of the need, and I'm sure there's so much money they don't know how to spend it, so I'll just keep sending my money off to Billy Graham and to TBN. So I felt like that 31 is taking care of 10 families who say, we're going to bring our contribution to the party. And I can bring it down to 9 because my wife had a great idea that is already reducing it to 9. So we're taking the lead in that. And I'm not just talking about the current giving. I'm talking about the ones who aren't currently giving. In other words, I'm not saying to those who are ready, now you got to up your giving. I'm saying to those who don't, this is a great opportunity to give. So, and then in our next feedback, we can measure that and we can say, wow, look what came in. We actually met that difference. That'll be an encouragement to us. We've never done this type of feedback in the past, but then all things are changing. So are you happy with this? I get very, I'm out of my comfort zone. I don't like talking about money. I really trust God month to month, and God's never let me down. 25 years my wife and I have been doing this. And God is, you might sit and look at this and say, well, where does that difference come from if it's just in the red? Well, the only area in our expenses that there is some cushion or some margin of where we can dip in are salaries. So if it's 21 under or 31 under or 51 under, except in a few little places where there might be a few hundred rands and maybe a 1,000 rand here and there saved, ultimately it'll come out of salaries. And then that's great because we get to live by a bit more faith that month. Hey, I'm going to exercise 10% more faith this month. Hallelujah. So thanks, guys. Thanks for helping me walk by faith and be. Okay, seriously. Okay, James has just counted. There are 15 people on staff who get salary. So that's not, don't do the maths and divide it between us, okay? Us two. By the way, thanks, James. Thanks for mentioning that. Now, I said all that. You're going to say something. Am I finished? Okay, well, that was like the feedback on the finances over the last year. Just say, any questions of that, you can email me something through. You're welcome to do that. A question or comment. Asking for the church bank account number. You're welcome. But, so that's the information. Everyone got it? Thank you.
This is changing the subject a little bit, but I decided that I would read Steve's book again, Highway to Grace. And honest to goodness, it's reading it with new eyes because this is actually our story. This is how we came from being really captive to being free. And I tell you, it is just wonderful. And if you've got that book, dig it up again and start reading it. And if you haven't got it, then go and buy it because it's not a lot of money. But I tell you what, it'll just renew things inside you again. You know, sometimes we get a bit blasé and, you know, grace is grace. But I tell you what, when you actually, which we all have, we've learned to be free, but we must stay in it. And I really believe that we need to pick it up again and just read it.
Thanks, Anne. And because it's been translated into Zulu, you can read it in English and Zulu, if you like. Okay. Ryan Matthews is with us tonight. He, the pastor of Glenridge Church, took over from Rory Dyer recently, and he'll be ministering here tonight. So that's a good fun time we can have. And then also, the evening service is going to close down for the school holidays. Just so that if you kind of know that in the back of your mind. We're going to give everybody a break. How's that? Because half the people who come here on a Sunday night are people who go to work. So we're going to give everyone a break over the Christmas holidays. Not just the Gibbonses and the Wheelers. Jesus Christ is amazing. Okay. And then, Grace and Glory Conference happening next year now, definitely. The dates of that are March 18th. I knew that. No. It's the 14th to the and the 15th. 14th and 15th of March. The Grace and Glory. Rob will be out. But this year we're having it in Newcastle. Central for different other churches. Some of the Joburg churches are whinging because it's so far. So we're going to have it Central, Newcastle. It's a Friday and a Saturday. One day's leave. You gotta put in for leave. It's gonna be an awesome time. With a slight difference. Okay, and then Dave is gonna come and share the word as we wrap up this teaching we've been doing. I just want to say this guy's been such a blessing to me. He's just become a good friend. And also it's nice to be challenged in a theological environment as well from time to time. But Dave comes, he was a pastor in church in the UK for a number of years. And they've settled here as a family. The rest of the family are in bed needing a miracle of healing today. So is that the miracle you received? But Dave's just been a great blessing and comes as a gift from the Lord to us. So thanks for sharing the word.
All right, good morning. I've been sick all week with flu, so if I start a bit coughing and etc., just bear with me. Will you do that? It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to bear to talk about giving and generosity and all of those things. And I was asked to come and wrap up this whole thing that we've been doing on financing and giving, etc. And hopefully I'd like to tell you some of the stories of how we had to work this through in our home church and some of the miracles that God did in terms of a breakthrough. How many of you are believing God for a breakthrough in your finances? I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to pray right at the beginning of this meeting. We're going to pray for a breakthrough in that area. Father, I stretch out my hands. Would you stretch out your hands with me? Father, we thank you that you don't want us to be walking around in poverty. You don't want us worrying about where the next bean's going to come from. And Father, you know every single need that's in this place. So in the name of Jesus, I pray as we work through the truths in the scriptures, that you will open up revelation, that we will walk in the blessing of prosperity. And Father, we'll see breakthroughs happen today. So every person that needs a financial breakthrough, we pray today, drop nuggets and revelation and keys that will unlock those doors in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to talk, I'm going to take you through a little bit of a tour through the New Testament on giving and looking at how did the New Testament church give and how they get involved. So I've called it grace giving, which is the heart of the tithe. Now, we've been talking a lot about tithing. We're talking about bringing your tithes into the storehouse. A lot of the scriptures that we used to use are found in the Old Testament. But yet, as Steve's been saying, just because something was in the Old Testament doesn't make it null and void now in the New. However, there is a new heart about these things. There's a new spirit about these things. There's a new understanding, a new revelation. And so the New Testament church had an understanding of the revelation of giving, and I don't think yet we've even caught it. You remember we spoke a while ago about we understand what new covenant worship is, but yet our thinking is still very much rooted in the old. Remember that? And I believe that we have still yet to get real revelation of what new covenant giving and generosity is. Now, before we got into the revelation of grace, we spent an inordinate amount of time focusing on fruits. How many of you have been in a church where everyone's telling you that you need to have more joy, more peace, more patience? Anyone been like that? And I want to work with me here. So if I took you all to a workshop, and this workshop was a patience workshop. So basically, you're going to come and you're going to spend the whole day, and we're going to teach you how to be patient. And you're going to get bumper stickers, and you get t-shirts and little badges that say, "I must be patient." And we get you all chanting, "I must be patient, I must be patient, I must be patient." How long do you think it will take for you to no longer be patient? Two minutes? Any advance on 2 minutes? Can anyone make it half an hour perhaps? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. The minute you get in your car and you get to the first traffic light and a taxi cuts you up, patience. You see, patience is a fruit of something. You can't teach yourself into patience. Patience is a natural course of something that caused it. And here's the question then, which I throw out to a number of people. What is the root of patience? Anyone who's a Bible teacher should know this. What is the root of patience? Tribulation. Glory, I hope not. Man, well done. You've been in my seminars before, I can tell. The root of patience is understanding. See, when you gain understanding, you automatically become patient. It's true, isn't it? So you don't have to try to be patient because it's rooted in understanding. But our early understanding or revelation of the Gospels was that we would have to say, I must have joy, I must have joy, I must have joy, I must have joy. And you're really doing well, and then something happens, and you get totally upset. Now you feel really condemned because you no longer got joy. And we used to spend our lives doing this, didn't we? And then we'd look at each other and go, oh, that person's got more joy than me. They're obviously more spiritual. And the point is this, is that everything is rooted in something. And that the new covenant is that we teaches us that we need to move our eyes and our attention off the fruit. The fruit is not the attention or the place where we put our gaze. What is the attention is the roots being rooted in Christ. Are you with me? Has anyone ever seen an apple tree or been to an orchard? Now, what we don't see are apple trees standing in the field, squeezing out apples. You're not hearing this moaning of the trees as they squeezing out another fruit. Apple trees don't spend their life worrying about whether they're going to produce apples. Apple trees spend their life worrying about whether there'll be enough rain for their roots. And the natural response to a good root system is lots of fruit. Are you with me? And so it is the same when we talk about giving and generosity. Generosity, giving, tithing, bringing our finances, these are fruits of something that it's rooted in. And if we focus solely on the fruit, we're going to get ourselves into an awful lot of trouble again. So we're going to examine what are the good root systems that produce in us generosity, acts of giving, and God's blessing financially. Because then and only then we are doing it in His strength and not our own. Are you with me? Colossians 2:6 says this, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Go back. You can keep on that one. So the first thing that we need to understand is that giving is a fruit of grace. If we are rooted in grace, then the natural thing that will start to happen is we will find ourselves wanting to give more. Now I'm going to read you, would you turn in your Bibles please? And if you haven't got a Bible, please just sit next to a Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read this because this is phenomenal. This is a church that understands grace. And this is the natural flow of giving that comes from grace. 2 Corinthians 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian church. Just pause for a moment. Every single time giving is mentioned in the New Testament, it is in the context of receiving grace. Every time giving is mentioned in the New Testament, it's in the context of receiving grace. You can only be generous when you have received grace. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, those are two things you don't normally see together, welled up in rich, what? Generosity. Let's just read that again. This is what grace does for you. In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. This is what happens when you get grace. It's exciting. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. You see how grace and giving go hand in hand. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. How many of you know that you received grace and it didn't cost you anything? It was a free gift. The revelation of that grace is what will produce in you the fruit of generosity. Now I've got these two arrows because in the old covenant, our giving was hooked. We had to give in order to receive God's blessing. Malachi teaches us, right? Give in order that your barns would be full and also that you would be protected. So our giving was not giving out of a desire of just to bless or love. No, no, no. Our tithing in those days was out of a need to receive a blessing and to have protection. Do you see that? It's like when I buy my wife flowers, she looks at me and says, oh yeah, what do you want? There is a hook in what we were doing and why we were doing it. But when we became new covenant believers and we were full of grace, we now were faced with a new thing where we can give not because if we don't, we're not going to be blessed. We're going to give not because if we don't, our barns are going to fall apart or our house is going to drop into the ocean. This time we're going to give simply because it's a good thing to do, to give. It is hookless giving. See, grace is a hookless gift. God doesn't give you grace because he wants something from you. He gives you grace because he loves to give you grace. And the heart of the new covenant tithe is that we don't no longer give out of a hook. We give out of a heart's desire to bless. That exciting? And so the whole issue of love, the whole issue of understanding the motive of our hearts is revealed in whether we do things with a hook or we do things without a hook. Dom, would you just come down the front for me, please? I need you to help me with this. James, would you help me with this as well? What I'd like you to do, James, is tie Dom up for me. Just stand up here on the stage for me, Dom. I want you, your hands must be like this, okay? And I want you to tie his hands up and his feet up for me as well. That'll be really, really good while you're doing that. Make it good and tight as well. Painful. That's really helpful. That's right. Tie him up there. So our giving is rooted in grace. Here's the issue though. If you find that yourselves are not giving and you find that, as a lot of people do, they get grace, and then what's the first thing happens when they get grace normally? Everything gets thrown out, right? Yeah. That's the first reaction, and that's okay. We all need a reaction to deal with some stuff. But here's a quick question for you. If we find that we have revelation of grace, but we are no longer generous, then the question I ask is, what revelation of grace did you get? Because the fruit is determined by the root. How are we doing here? That's good. That's good. You okay there, bud? You look a lot like Jesus. You know it. It's the beard, isn't it? Yeah. It's Jesus. I reckon it looks like Jesus. Okay. Legs. Anytime you like there, bud. Just take your time. I've only got half an hour, but it's fine, you know. Take your time there, bro. Okay. Next slide. Why are we doing this? What's this illustration all about? Giving comes as a fruit of maturity. Giving is a fruit of maturity. Now, what you have here before you, ladies and gentlemen, is a picture. Well, first you have a very stunning young man here with a great beard. That's really good. That's quite funny, right? Look at hours of fun here. Hours of fun. All right, James, you can take a seat for a moment there, but I will need you in a minute. This man represents what we all used to look like under the law. You see, we were all bound tightly by the law that we were under. And so this law holds us in, keeps us straight and true. And one of the laws that we were told to have is that we must bring a tenth or a tithe every Sunday to the church, because if we didn't, our lives wouldn't be blessed, and we wouldn't be able to get that holiday that we wanted, and the pastor would be very upset. Excuse me. The problem is with the law is that I don't know if I took those ropes off, if Dom is going to hit me or love me. In fact, none of us actually know what Dom's reaction would be. If you didn't know Dom at all, we wouldn't know what's really inside Dom, because the law is holding him into a fashion or into a type. Do you see that? And this is what the law does for us. We never quite knew what we were really like, because the law made us conform in a pattern of behavior. Okay? We didn't really know if we wanted to go to church, because we were under the law to go to church. We didn't really know if we wanted to read our Bible, because we were under the law to read our Bibles. And we don't know if you really want to give any money, because you've been under the law to give money. Like, I don't know when we take these ropes off any moment now, when James helps me here. We don't know if Dom is going to hit me or if he's going to hug me. I hope he's going to hug me, but we don't know. Let's see. Who would like to find out? So this is exactly what happens when we got the revelation of grace. Slowly, as the revelation came, the bonds of the law started to be removed from us. And when the bonds of the law started to be removed from us, slowly it starts to reveal the true nature of the person inside. Are you with me? So we don't know yet whether he's going to love us or hit us. We don't know what's inside the heart of Dom right now. Any man that has a beard like that. Dom, you're not helping me here, bro. Whatever you want. So Dom, are you going to love me or are you going to hurt me, bud? Let's just see. Let's see what's in his heart here. Is he a lover or a fighter? When you remove the law, you reveal the heart. So I stood in front of my church 9 years ago, and I repented for teaching them on tithing as a legalistic system. What do you think happened to the money? We went from a church that was giving £30,000 a month to a church that was giving £1,000 a month. Because when you remove the law, you reveal the heart. So I'm lying in bed going, that was a really silly thing to do, wasn't it, Lord? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, oh, but Dave, you're only understanding now that only now are you able to address the real motives of the heart. Because you couldn't do that under the law. So I stood up in front of the church the week after and told them there are a whole bunch of stingy people. And I was right. Because under the law they gave, but under grace they didn't. So what grace did they receive? Remember, the fruit is subject to the root. And what grace does is grace, far from making us become just these wild flakes, what grace does is grace brings us to maturity. It faces us or forces us to face up to who we really are. Because if we're no longer generous because there's no law or no reason to give, then I have to ask the question of myself. If I am no longer generous, why? That's a challenge. And just as you've seen here, as revelation comes more and more and we find ourselves removing more and more of the law, more and more of our hearts are being exposed. And as we become more mature in Christ, what I'd like to suggest happens is we become far more generous and giving. It's exciting, isn't it? Giving then, next one is a fruit of faith. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I remember standing in a high street looking at a building. It was a 1,000-seater building, and our church at the time was 80 people strong. And God said to me, how would you like to have the big building? I said, be cool. That'll be great, God. Let's do the big building. So we walked around. We met the estate agents, and the estate agent said, you can have the building, no problem. It'll cost you £65,000 a month. Okay, that's cool. So I sat down with the elders, and the elders and I, we agreed how much we could give. We could give £10,000 a month. And so we signed the paperwork. We never missed one single payment on that building for the 6 years we were in it. Just a miracle after miracle after miracle of God's provision. But you see, generosity is rooted in faith. You first have to be having faith for something in order for God to release finances. One of the questions I'd ask you as a family and then certainly as a church is what are we in faith for? Because God has no need to release the finances unless we have miracles needing to be seen. Faith is giving is a fruit of faith. Let me tell you, the church that I led in those times were the most giving of all to the time I've ever met of people. Why? Because when the faith is high, people's generosity is massive. Question is, what are you in faith for? What do you believe in God for? This one I want to take a little bit more time over. And it's this, that giving is a fruit of community. The thing that was amazing about the New Testament church was that there were no needs among them. The things that people saw and looked at when they looked at the New Testament church is somehow there was a support system for all the people in the church. Now, Acts 2:45 is a brilliant scripture. It says this, that whenever someone had need, someone would go and sell a field and provide for that need. Now, it's a observation. People that are stingy, don't give, are not generous, don't tithe, let's use that word, are often the people not rooted in a community. Because when you're in a community, you start to understand the needs of the people around you. And if you're in community with people, then those needs start to bother you. They start to become your needs. So when you meet in a small group, I used to love doing this in a small group when I go and visit some of these small groups. I would ask the question, who's got needs in the small group? And then I'd put a big container in the middle. I said, right, let's meet that need now. I can't tell you how many cars were purchased by small groups for people who needed cars. Or painting, where people needed their houses being painted. Or money for groceries, where they didn't have money. You see, the New Testament church doesn't come to the church to ask for it. They understood they were the church and became the answer for it. But you see, you have to be rooted in community first to understand what generosity is. The reason generosity came, it's a fruit, because they were impacted by one another's lives. You can't ignore Johnny who comes in rags every week. If you're going to be in community with him, something's going to well up in your heart that says, Johnny, let me go and buy you a new wardrobe. That's the new covenant. The thing that will make us unique and different from any other church in the planet is when people walk in and say, there were no needs among them. Can you imagine being a church where there are no needs among us? Because they understood grace. They understood the giving of grace. They were impacted by community. See, if you just attend this church, but you're not part of this church, you'll struggle to tithe. You'll struggle to give. Because it's a fruit of something. The fruit of giving is found in community. I am so excited to be a part of a church that has a vision. I want to see this church double in size in the next 12 months. It needs to have bigger buildings, more outreach programs. I think it's crazy to think that we're running in the red. But now we all know the need. It's going to test our hearts. True? And so, giving is a fruit of community that we are in. Can I suggest one of the things we do every time we meet as a small group is we ask what are the needs among us. And we commit one another to meeting those needs. Wouldn't it be great to have testimony after testimony of my home group came and we got a car. My home group came and we blessed this person with this thing. And we painted their house and we changed this. And we didn't have to go through the church office to ask permission. It just happens. Just happens. Love the fact that all the Grecian, all the Jews, all the social welfare program of the early days was the church. There was so much generosity going on that they had to get administrators just to administrate the amount of food. We are in a unique and wonderful and powerful position right now to bless beyond any reason. Because if there is any church in this Upper Highway area that should be the most generous, it should be this one, because this one is the flagship of grace. And the fruit of grace is generosity. It's the heart of it. So we're bringing it to a conclusion. So giving then is also a fruit of ownership. Maybe this will get a little bit prickly. I really don't care. There are two types of people. People that rent houses and people that own houses. People that rent houses, they find a house that they can afford the rent of. They go to the house. They move in the house. But when the window pane needs fixing, who do they call? The landlord. And they moan and they moan and they moan until the landlord fixes the window, right? And then when something else breaks, who do they call? The landlord. And they moan and moan until the landlord fixes the house, right? Do they take care of how the house looks in terms of its up and coming valuations? So a renter is somebody that lives in a house, enjoys all the benefits of the house, but has never invested in the house. And when it all goes wrong, it's very easy to walk out of the house. The thing that made the New Covenant Church different was they were owners. They owned the community, the mission, and those things that were involved in it. To be an owner initially means an investment. You have to invest to get the house. And then once you're in the house, you're continually having to invest in its upkeep. And when it breaks, who's going to fix it? You're going to fix it. Because you're an owner, not a renter. But there is a terrible indictment on the Christian church today where people feel they can attend or be part of, but never own. And the fruit of that is no money, no finance, no blessing. But when you catch grace, God roots you into a community. And out of that rooting of that community comes a generosity way bigger than you could ever imagine. You know that the average giving for a Pharisee at the time of Jesus was 29.5%. Interesting fact. And that they add more and more and more and more things. So for a Pharisee, generosity only started after 29%. That scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, even though they were in severe trial, in absolute poverty, great joy welled up and they gave beyond, they were beyond what they were even able to give. They did that because they owned the vision of changing the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the motives of our heart are exposed again, aren't they? Do we attend or do we own? Are we an investor? Are we going to be an investor? Do we carry on being an investor? Church, you are so rich. You are so rich. Less than 3 miles from here are people without running water, in abject poverty. And some of us worry that we're driving the old series BMW. South Africa is a land of complete contrasts. We have an opportunity as a church and a body of Christ of changing the landscape of South Africa. But if we can't get generosity right where a community is here, how will we do that out there? You are rich beyond your wildest dreams. So may we excel all the more in generosity as the revelation of grace increases. May this church grow in its giving base steadily week on week on week. May there never be a shortfall and may there always be a bounty. May our small groups be the capital or the central place of community where every need is met. May we always realize how rich we are. And never take it for granted. May we be the most generous community in South Africa. May we own the vision, changing the world to the gospel of grace. God bless you.
Maybe just pray for people.